I'm very happy now to welcome to the program Issa Nyafaga. He is an artist, a performer, a global community organizer, and this Friday, the 24th of February, at El Museo Cultural, he will be doing a benefit called Art for Health. It's a whole great, fun extravaganza of dance and art and play and music.
Hello,
and everything. Hello, it's great to have you back on the show.
Okay, thank you for having me.
So you have been doing all kinds of activities all over the world for some years. Let's remind people of your background, or for people who haven't come across you or your work before on this show or in other places. You are from Cameroon, Africa. You are a political cartoonist, among other things, and you were imprisoned and tortured for your political cartooning and eventually escaped Cameroon.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. And what I have also to add is that I didn't want to live in the costume of the victim when I was in Europe in exile in Paris for 10 years. So I decided to come to America to be someone different, to be a community organizer, not being a victim that people see like, oh my God, you got tortured and we're so sorry for you.
Right.
I just wanted to leave that costume and take that experience to move on and teach people how they can, you know, create their own process of resilience, like how I did, you know, through art, because I think art is also a very good healing process.
And so you came to the United States and you've been doing these really interesting performances, of which I've seen a number. What is it that you are doing? Like, what does it look like?
It looked like something that I do in the community, because first of all, it's an art therapy for me, but I don't want to do it in the studio alone. So I like to be in the public, and I want the children to see it, and people who love art and who have a sensibility to connect with art can see it, so their own process can start. So what I usually do, I use live music to paint my body in the first part of the performance, paint my face, my hands, and sometimes my feet. And then...
And you paint them often in a kind of stripes.
Yes, because it's a language. In one hand, we have a dot, and dots represent people. So each dot is one person, and it's on one hand. Another hand, you have a stripes and line, and those are communication and energy that drive human, like, to connect between each other.
So dots and lines and the symbolic qualities of those, is that a like traditional African type of symbolism?
It is. It is. It's inspired by my culture, the Tikar people. But I also started, you should know that I also started creating art with women. There was shaman women in my village. We paint with mud. And then it's a community art. So I don't see art process like something that I do alone. Like, I'm not a selfish artist, so I like to share it with the community. So then the process starts right there in front of people. So I accomplish all the piece inspired by live music. And also in this situation, people get nervous. I get nervous myself because I don't know how the piece is going to look at the end. Because it's also like a life, you know. If we come back here to do the same show tomorrow, nothing will be the same.
Right.
So everything is carried by live music during the performance. If I don't feel like the energy is so great, I can just paint one color brown, which is weird, but people enjoy the movement around, the way I move with the color and the way I responded to the live music and people who are around. So I paint on energy. That's how the performance is going to be.
So you start with yourself and painting yourself, and then you end up painting a canvas which is on the ground.
Right, right. We're local musicians, so I can include any kind of music also, because I think music is very, very interesting language that is represented in all cultures, you know. And you don't see music. You can touch music, but you can feel it. So it's anywhere, you know. You can wake up in the morning, hear the birds singing, and then you know that you're going to have an incredible day. And then we want human to create that kind of sound, so I can paint on it, and people can see that. And sometimes people ask me, do you think I can do that? Can you allow me to do that when I go back home? I say, sure, that's what you came here for.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we are raising funds for that. And there are going to be also other artistic expression. So we're going to have storytelling. We're going to have food, African food, and we're going to have also workshop for children. So people are allowed to bring their children and support these women in Cameroon.
So it's 5 to 8:30, and ladies and gentlemen, if you bring your children, they will have lots to do. You will not have to babysit them.
That's right, because I'm also an educator. So these last months I've been in Santa Fe teaching art in schools with some art teacher in the community, and they love it. Then the project's getting going to end soon, and everybody's so sad because I'm going to be leaving soon, and I'll be far away from here, and everybody's just like, oh my God, we won't see you again. I say, I'll come back next fall.
Yeah, you'll be back next fall, and we'll talk about that in a minute because I want to hear what you're doing with the children, but let's talk for a moment. It's called Art for Health Benefit, and you have been for years raising money to bring things like wheelchairs and other kinds of medical aid, lots of different kinds of medical aid, to the village that you're from in Cameroon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's a very moving and pretty intense photo portfolio on Facebook of some of the people whom you're helping, people whose faces and whose bodies have been very badly burned in accidents, cooking accidents, things like that, and people who really need help, and there just is not a medical infrastructure there to help them.
Yes, yes, Mary Charlo, that's true. Because I am the person who refused to forget where he came from, and also refused to not see the suffering of other people. So what happened is that since 2009, we've been raising funds in the community of Santa Fe. We start with mobility project, and I want to thank Marcy Davis of Super Prison, who was supporting me and is the person who trusts me in this project. She follow me everywhere, anything I want to do in Africa for organization here in Santa Fe. She always there to support my work and host my organization to raise funds because we trust each other. And then last year we had a very big gig. We had 100 wheelchairs donated to us to give to people with polio in rainforest. So then now people are allowed to move around with wheelchairs. They don't have to be carried like babies, because it's such a humiliation for people with disabilities to go to the bathroom. They have to carry. It wasn't so fun. So we have accomplished that. And then these women, now every morning in the village, they're sitting at my front door, and then my sister-in-law hitting my door and say, you have a visitor. And they're the same people every day with... They are wounded, they have very bad injuries, and then they're begging me to help them. And then I say, I'm just an activist, I'm only artist. Did you realize that I sell artwork to come here every summer, and I don't want to forget this country where they kick me out of here. So I just want to come here because I like this place. This is my childhood memories. Then I will try, when I go back to America, I'm trying to ask my friend to come and support you. I will see what I can do. I can't promise anything, which I'm doing right now. So I don't want to forget. I want to support these women. I want also people to come and you know, get involved in this project. So that's what I want to do. Another thing I have to say is that it wasn't easy for me to start an organization like this in the U.S. because when I first came here, I was saying that I just have to sell art and run this program myself. I'm ashamed to raise funds because I'm not from the culture where people donate. And then somebody told me, oh my God, you're saying something terrible, because here in America, people want to help, but they don't know how. So if they trust you, they will be able to donate to your organization, which I'm doing every year in Santa Fe. So every year we're improving this project.
One of the things I think that's so important to talk about in your project is that it's a very direct person-to-person kind of thing.
Right,
so
right.
You have talked on this program before, and you've talked to a lot of people about how when you donate one wheelchair, then one person gets to actually have an independent life, and so does that person's family, who have up until that point been literally carrying them around because they don't have a wheelchair or anything like that. So suddenly, not only one person, but a whole family gets liberated, and there is no middleman, and there is no fundraising letters and postage and all these kinds of administrators and buildings and rent. I mean, it goes straight through you.
Yeah.
And you're not getting rich doing it.
No, not at all. And also, the reason why I'm on Facebook, I have over 1,000 friends, and all my pictures can be accessed by anyone. If you're on Facebook, you can just go in my profile and click on picture and see what I'm doing in Cameroon. So I am not taking money to another direction. And people have come with me, people from Santa Fe and people from other parts of the globe, even in New York. I right now connected the local surgeon with the Drexel University Global Health, from Philadelphia, so we're going to clean water in the community. So when I go with people who are allowed to come, because this project is an inclusive project. And people who donate, if somebody in Santa Fe donate a serious money, he's allowed to come with me. I'll take him and take him to the local chief and introduce him and tell him, this is my friend in America who donated to this project. He come in to check to make sure that we're running good programs. So this project is a very inclusive project. And you can see the picture in Facebook. So after 6 months, we return pictures, information, and anything, and the thank you letters too.
So all of this, basically if anybody wants to donate and come to this performance, that's what's going to happen. That's where whatever penny or dollar or $100, $1,000 or $1 million you donate.
The money will go to the good schools. And they can also donate online, hitip.org, yes.
Yeah, and we'll give all that information at the end. Now, this is all Friday the 24th of February from 5 to 8:30 at El Museo Cultural here in Santa Fe. Now, you're also doing things, you've been teaching young children in the school systems, in the public school systems here in Santa Fe.
Right.
And you're going to be teaching a class in the fall called Art as a Form of Social Justice and Critical Thinking.
Yes.
And
yes.
So that's more for young adults, basically.
Yeah, that's for the community college in this coming fall. And my friend Michelle Hesbrook gave me an opportunity to open me a position for classes. So I'm going to be teaching cartoons and recycling art, because I think we have to care about environment. That's one of the work that I do here, because sometimes global community organizer doesn't sound something that people hear every day, but it just means that I'm from Africa and I live in the U.S. I spend more time here in Santa Fe, and while I'm in Santa Fe, I want to get involved in the community, do work. So I go to schools and I teach them art. I teach them how to recycle anything in the daily life, turn it into art. And this is my 11th year teaching. So then I also open mind of other people, because sometimes I hike around Santa Fe here and I see people wrapping poop of dogs in the nature in the plastic. So it's kind of feel like the common sense is gone. This should be made in the urban area, not in the bush, because nobody will pick it up there.
Right.
So then I want to grow the minds, because the reason why I'm travel is because I want to see how people think. So, and that's one of the reasons why I came to Santa Fe, to the Santa Fe Art Institute for a residency program. And I never left, because I always come back here because I feel strong energy. I feel that people are very receptive about what I do. So I also invite them to see my political cartoon at El Museo Cultural until the end of February.
Yeah, and so that's another thing. Your political cartoons, which are in English, are being exhibited at El Museo.
Right.
Until the end of February, and you take on American politics as well as African politics.
Why not? Because I also become a part of American culture, and I'm also, this is Black History Month show, and I'm showing with Greta McGill, who is an African-American and Santa Fe-based artist and writer. So I'm showing with her. So her work is responding to mine, and I'm focused on American policy, because that's how I see life here. I'm part of this community, you know. I'm going to be voting in the coming years, but I want to influence the vote before we get there. So
right.
I want people to come and see how an African intellectual sees American policy in the year of 2012 election. So that's very interesting for them to experience.
So tell us a little bit more about what your classes with the young people are like. I mean, in this day and age where everybody's talking about the failures of our educational system, you're getting these kids so excited that they're weeping because you're leaving for the summer. What are you doing with these kids?
So I'm arriving as an artist in the room, because also I have to say that they see me as a Black artist and they never been in touch with a Black person before. I can see that in the eyes, because I am not even an artist. I am passionate about people first, before I become an artist, because I grew up in a very big family and I love people. That's my first passion, in loving people. So when I connect with the kids, I also connect with the spirit that I am, you know, because I am a kid. So what do we teach art, we recycle anything that we see in daily life, toothpaste, you know, we recycle keys and rolling paper towels and cardboard, and also we transform sand into different color and we paint with it on cardboard. So we use white glue to paint with it, and it's very simple language of art. So then you can also see the transformation in the eyes, because the teachers are telling me now that, you know, the parents are getting away of saying, who is this guy working in school and teaching the kids? Because we don't have other conversation on the dinner table only about African art or recycling art in school. I want to thank Amy Suma, the head of the program at the Santa Fe Public School, and also the teacher who worked with me. I think of Ronnie Rohr, I think of Ms. Roy Bell and Sarah Gilman, or Gretel of the Kearney School. So those are the teachers who invited me in school to have a transformation for the children in this community, and they really, really, really love it.
I think a theme that is coming up over and over and over again that I'm seeing is that art has transformed from an individual activity to a community activity, and that its power is in sharing with each other.
Right.
And that's always been true for, let's say, theater and for orchestras,
right,
and things like that. But now all the arts, visual arts, every kind of art, it is a kind of people coming together and not only looking at how they can do a cool group project with each other, but how that relates to the world they're living in.
Yeah, it's also connected how people see life every day, you know. And do not forget that art saved me from what my story have been, because if you didn't have art to make that therapy, maybe I'll be hurting other people today, or I'll be in jail, arrested, and closed out.
Right.
So then this process of creativity make me make my process of resilience successful, because I'm the person who got hurt, but I didn't want to be banned by victimization. So I just want to liberate myself and go out and tell other people, you have to make that transformation, because the fact that people hurt you when you was a child, you have to hurt other people, is not what I believe in. I believe in something that you can cut the cordon, the umbilical cordon, and move on, make your own process. And that's what I want to teach the kids, you know. We all have our struggle, but if we see life differently, and then we make it there.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense to me that you have, in coming to the United States, as you said, it kind of taken off the victim cloak that you might have been wearing at some point, having been abused, having been a political prisoner and all that. But I mean, I think it's also important to know that when you're teaching these kids, for them to know you've been through probably worse than any of them has ever been through. And this is what you came out like. And whatever their stories are, they can basically come out however they want.
Yeah, yeah. And also, I can also see that the way that, you know, I had a father that who didn't allow me to draw anything because of his beliefs. So, and then I was saved from him by women, by my mother, who took me to her village. And then I grew up with all these women who taught me that I should always read the sign of space and time, because it's the two elements of life that we can control. You know what I'm saying? Like, when it's time for you to go, it's time for you to go. And then if you're using a space, you can control that space. You can quantify it. So then they taught me that. And then they also taught me I can feel the energy, and I know myself. I know my weakness and what I'm powerful in, and then trying to manage it. You know, like you fall in the river and then you see that the waves are stronger than you. What you do, you let yourself go and wait the moment that you hang yourself in any branch of the tree and save your life. So that's the kind of philosophy that I was taught when I was a kid in. And it gave me this sense of combativity, you know, like if I can stand every morning and walk out of the door, I can make that change happen. If I can talk with somebody, connect with the society, then I know that something will happen. And that's what I want to teach these kids, you know. I want to tell them, life is not easy, but what you need to do is to connect with other humans and make that change happen. It's very, very important to reach out.
Issa Nyafaga is an artist, performer, he's a global community organizer, and you can meet him and be part of the whole wonderful project that he's involved in this Friday, the 24th of February, from 5 to 8:30 in the evening at El Museo Cultural, which is right on Paseo de Peralta in Santa Fe. And I will put on my website, santafe.radiocafe.org, the way that they can connect to you, to your Facebook, and find out more about your projects.
Yes, yes. I can end up this program and thank all my supporters, mostly Maria El Museo Cultural, who have been listening to the show. She's been supporting us every single year to come and perform there. I want to thank also Adam McKinney. He's one of the performers in town who's going to present the evening, and also Greta McGill, who presenting the show with me, my friend Patsy Sato, people who have been supporting me. I think of Carol Ware and Vahid and all these people, Christine Kalangis, and prep school when I'm going to be these coming days for a forum. So please come to the show and experience what I do and also be part of it. Just not come and donate, but you have to be part of it. Follow us on Facebook and connect with us, call us, and go to our website and check the project and donate. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Issa, for being here.
Pleasure. Thank you.